Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand Side Quest right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I hope today's video finds you and yours very well. Today, I want to talk about the game Kingdom Come Deliverance that just came out a couple of weeks ago. It sold over a million copies. It's a huge success, actually, for Warhorse Studios, the Prague-based developer that worked on it for many years. But the game wasn't without its controversy, both as it was incubating and being developed, and in its post-release kind of format. There are people in games media and in the games industry and some players that are calling the game racist, the guy behind the game racist, the studio racist, and all of the rest. And obviously the word racism really means very little today because everything is racist and everybody is racist, but nonetheless, I wanted to dedicate today's video to this entire farce and see what you think, so I'll see you on the other side. 7 years ago, Czech gaming developer Warhorse Studios was founded with a big objective in mind. Delve into the thriving fantasy, open world, and Western RPG genres and playstyles, and come out the other end with a more realistic game. Or at least as realistic as one might expect a video game to be that would still be fun to play. It would take place in a real locale during a real historical era, the Kingdom of Bohemia during medieval times. Remove the arcane powers and supernatural elements that usually engulf games of its type, replace arcadey gameplay with something more deliberate, and focus the story on something surprisingly narrow, but also far more believable than your typical save-the-world approach. If all of that sounds pretty cool, at least on paper, it's because it is, especially when it comes to the increasingly volatile $60 retail market rife with safe and predictable releases. The game in question is called Kingdom Come Deliverance, and it finally launched earlier in February. While suffering from some bugs and a few obnoxious gameplay elements, neither unusual traits of a freshly launched open-world RPG, Kingdom Come Deliverance has found moderate critical success and an audience that, in its growing numbers, has far outpaced what must have been even the rosiest estimates as to how it would do at market. In barely 10 days, Warhorse Studios' first product has surpassed the million-sold mark, a fantastic milestone for the upstart team out of Prague. And there's a very good chance it could do millions more, as word gets around that its dedicated to realism approach actually works. I for one can't wait to jump in, though I must admit that, with other games occupying my time, I'm happy to wait until a few patches clean things up before losing dozens of hours of my life to medieval Bohemia. But our tale doesn't begin and end here. Due to the outspoken, brash nature of the man behind Kingdom Come, a controversial figure in certain corners of the gaming industry, the game has become a lightning rod, and its incredible success has, for some, become a symbol of anti-authoritarianism and a triumph over political correctness, while for others it's symbolic of an eroding space that's unwelcoming to certain people and ideas. For me, though, Kingdom Come Deliverance's million sales and counting represents something else entirely. The rise of an increasingly savvy pool of reasonable and level-headed gamers who are unwilling to succumb to the same old, tired, character-assassinating talking points, and the stunning defeat of a small group of waning, neo-puritanical gatekeepers who, yet again, vastly overestimated the weight and gravity of their endless moral indignation. The game's crime? It's pretty much exclusively full of white people. Compounding the crime? Warhorse Studios, when criticized, didn't make any changes and in fact doubled down and defended their design decisions, helmed by their leader. To understand the manufactured drama, you must first learn more about the aforementioned guy at the eye of the storm, a man named Daniel Vavra. Mr. Vavra is a Czech developer who joined the industry in the late 90s, toiling away for more than a decade at the now-shuttered developer that would eventually be called 2K Czech. He was a prominent member of the Mafia team, and following Mafia 2's launch, he founded a studio, Warhorse, to make his own game, Kingdom Come Deliverance. Thing is, you need to see Mr. Vavra through the gaming industry's hyper-liberal lens, for he unabashedly isn't, for lack of a better term, one of them. He's something different. If he doesn't call himself a conservative, he often sounds like one, which, in and of itself, stands out in such a heavily hive-minded development scene. And it turns out that his dedication to speaking his mind and being himself paid dividends. But it was far from clear that Mr. Vavra or his game would survive the barbs being thrown at him, and portions of the game's press did what they could to ensure that he would pay both a professional and personal price for expressing his controversial and sometimes ineloquently delivered views. In an industry where most of the conservative and libertarian developers I know and have encountered over the years keep quiet in order simply to survive in a line of work largely hostile to them, Mr. Vavra seems quite comfortable under the spotlight's glare. His outspoken support of the Gamergate movement is, in particular, one of his calling cards, one that has made him profoundly unpopular with the mainstream games media clique, which in turn has greatly affected both pre- and post-release coverage of his game. But it's the utter ineffectiveness of the negative press that might be the biggest story of all. Predictable corners of traditional games media, along with those in their orbit, have gone out of their way to misrepresent and mischaracterize Mr. Vavra, his studio, and his game, and some to this day refuse to even cover the game at all. Worse yet, they remain steadfast against seeing any gray. They ignore any clarification or apology or mea culpa. As usual, they're only out for blood, as totalitarian-minded people with infinite axes to grind often are. The strict binary from which these people even see the world is frankly embarrassing to bear witness to. Their willingness and even eagerness to burn anyone at the stake who falls out of line should concern us all. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I agree with everything Daniel Vavra has said, because I don't. In researching for this video, I found plenty that I'd somewhat or fully disagree with. And as someone who found Gamergate and whatever amorphous group was fighting against it both reprehensible, as someone who wanted nothing to do with any of it, as someone who was puzzled by how terribly people were treating each other and how people were brawling over mostly myths, rumors, and innuendo, I know that something else is true from firsthand experience. Anything that doesn't mimic established political and ideological orthodoxy is largely unwelcome at some games media outlets and in many parts of game development and game publishing, and that anyone who speaks differently than the enshrined monoculture is going to be reduced to the lowest common denominator, ruthlessly defamed, and predictably attacked both professionally and personally. And if you stand up to the cabal, if you dare stick by your guns, well, that can make things even worse. For such an apparently forward-facing and technologically progressive industry, there are many within it that would love nothing more than the elimination of wrongthink. The origins of all this drama can be traced back to a Tumblr account called People of Color in European Art History. Back in early 2014, when Kingdom Come Deliverance's popular Kickstarter was still collecting funds, a reader wrote in with a screen grab of his or her correspondence with Warhorse Studios asking about the game's ethnic representation. Warhorse responded, noting that in 15th century Bohemia, it would have been, quote, very, very rare to see a person of color, particularly because of the tiny area and short period of time the adventure takes place in and over. This, in turn, morphed into your predictable brand of manufactured online melodrama. The Tumblr blog went on to post multiple pieces of Bohemian and related art that showed people of color, and concluded by completely and utterly misrepresenting what Warhorse said about representation. Quote, it literally says we left ethnicities just because there were none in Bohemia at the time, end quote, is what the Tumblr author wrote. But that's not what Warhorse said at all. The misquote and misrepresentation is mere pixels from the actual quote, but nonetheless, the die was cast. Not a huge surprise, as at the top of the same piece, the blog's author complains that Vavra and company must also be sexist, as they had a stretch goal on Kickstarter for a playable female character. If you don't get that particular complaint, rest assured no one else does either. You'd have to live in another universe to get it. From an optical point of view, Mr. Vavra did himself no favors, repeatedly proclaiming that there were no black people or other people of color in 15th century Bohemia at all, something that's probably close to being true, but something that's almost certainly not true in totality. What he probably should have said is what Warhorse said on Kickstarter. It would have been incredibly unusual for you to see someone who wasn't white during this time in this place. He probably should have noted that his developer took on the added expense of hiring a full-time historian and fact-checker whose entire job is dedicated to preserving the game's utmost historical accuracy, something completely unheard of outside of a couple of outliers, like Assassin's Creed games, and that they've consulted and worked with nearly 24 more to retain as much authenticity in a game staking its claim in authenticity. And he probably should have noted, as he's noted since, that he's making the game he wants to make, and that doing so doesn't make him a racist, or a Nazi, or anything else. In fact, anyone with a little historical knowledge could tell you that comparing someone from a country run roughshod over by actual Nazis during the actual World War II is probably a bad idea. But asking the totalitarian-minded to learn or understand history is typically a heavy lift. Yet for years, Kingdom Come Deliverance was often written about through this lens. One of the biggest articles penned about Mr. Vavra during the game's development cycle was from Kotaku, an interesting read chronicling the seemingly reasonable and adult interaction between two level-headed people, but one still fed to the masses with Gamergate front and center. Stashed in there are totally reasonable quotes from Mr. Vavra explaining his stance, but burying the lead and creating an incendiary headline is far more effective to generate clicks. Fast forward a few years, and Eurogamer's review of the game is borderline comical when, towards the end, five paragraphs are dedicated to Kingdom Come Deliverance's lack of people of color, which it calls, quote, a big problem. Throw in Eurogamer's complaints about how women are treated in a game that takes place in medieval times, and needless to say, you've got yourself a head-scratcher. It's almost as if there's an underlying intention to discredit and ruin a person underneath it all, no matter what. And trust me, it has worked with some readers of these outlets. Just look at a letter written to the editor of Metro Gaming, which failingly asked readers to boycott the game, calling Mr. Vavra, quote, an unashamed racist and sexist. He even throws in a little barb about a person working on an unrelated game being a, quote, massive bigot, and that he was fired. Quote, I hope the gaming community does more to thin out the cancerous elements that infest it. The letter's postscript concludes in alarmingly fascist tones. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned purge to ring in freedom. Regardless, as the months and years went on, the narrative remained unchanged right on through launch, so much so that it would be easy to miss the fact that Mr. Vavra took the time to clarify pretty much everything, and even apologize for his own part in the drama and for some of the stupider things he said. Quote, "I apologize for my lack of care and thoughtlessness in my personal communication, which has led to misunderstandings in the past. Should I hurt feelings or give the impressions of propagating a kind of ideology, I apologize for that." End quote. But there is no forgiveness, no understanding, no gray area, no agree to disagree, none of that. Not when it comes to the ideologically pure members of games media making mountains out of molehills, culminating in one outlet outright refusing to cover the game at all. Since they don't see eye to eye with Mr. Vavra, since he, from my point of view, unwisely supported Gamergate, since he is making an Eastern European game through an Eastern European lens, he must be all of the bad things they say, and possibly even worse. Racist, sexist, bigoted, misogynist, a Nazi. Is this really the kind of industry we want? Do we really want to characterize people as the worst possible thing, reduce them to nothing but a caricature of a monster, to assume that everyone is terrible? Why are we letting people who act like this represent video games, the gaming industry, and its consumers? The good news, considering Kingdom Come's success in the face of all of the drama, is that people appear fed up with the manufactured narrative propagated by a small handful of media types, with power slipping more and more out of their fingers each and every day. And that, to me, is great. I'd rather think the best of people, be a person who seeks to forgive, to see the other side of things, to hope for better, and to reach a handout to those who disagree, than live in an isolated tower built on orthodoxy, where even the people I'm attempting to reach don't like me. Why would you want to live that way? What's in it for you when everyone else but you is bad and evil and terrible and garbage and trash? It's ridiculous. All you need to do is read the likes of Eurogamer's comments and comments on Waypoint's decision to see that even their own readers are turning against them. In fact, the only place that seems to universally hate Mr. Vavra and his game is Reset Era, the place where people who don't play video games congregate to talk about video games. I read plenty of what Mr. Vavra wrote and said that I disagree with. Some of it was cringeworthy, frankly. But I simply am not built to think the absolute worst about a person, especially when there seems to be an end goal to take everything a person says wildly out of context and craft illustrations solely meant to humiliate and ruin. That's not who I am, and that's not how I operate, and I know I'm not alone there. This man didn't kill anyone, he didn't hurt anyone, he didn't insinuate anything terrible about anybody. He might have misspoke a few times, and he's standing by the historical accuracy, or what he sees as the historical accuracy, of his game. In an interview given way back in 2014, Mr. Vavra said this, and it shines through to today. Forgive the length of the quote, I think it's important that it's included here. Quote, "I think that what we are doing is really something no one has done before, and we are really trying to do it as well as we can. A realistic, historically accurate depiction of medieval Europe with a mature story. And then we are called racist because there are no people of color in our medieval bohemian world. And on top of that, we are called sexist because we had a stretch goal to add a playable female character in our game, as if it was costless to write and implement a whole new questline into the game. All this when the game is in an early stage of development and they don't have a clue about the actual story. Do you think that anyone would want to be involved in such absurd discussions during a campaign on which his existence as a studio depends? This has happened to many developers. Assassin's Creed had 5 different articles about its lack of a female character on the front page of an industry website one day, 5, next to each other. And we can continue. The Far Cry 4 cover scandal, Stanley Parable was accused of racism, Wildstar was accused of sexism, God of War, Hotline Miami, Bioshock, Divinity Original Sin, Witcher. Nobody ever dares to argue or protect his art, because it would mean instant accusation of misogyny, racism, homophobia, sexism, and then you realize that the people who are accusing others every day have terrible conflicts of interest and very weird ethics, the pot calling the kettle black." End quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. This is a teachable moment, my friends, something we should all take to heart, not just here in the world of video games, but in our everyday lives too. People are complicated and multidimensional. We're prone to making mistakes, and we often misspeak or say things we wish we could take back. Sometimes you're going to feel that a person is wrong or misguided, but that doesn't necessarily or probably even likely make them a bad person, or an evil person, or a person who harbors terrible feelings. There are truly abhorrent people in the world. Real racists, real bigots, real sexists, real homophobes, real transphobes. I suggest we keep our powder dry for those inevitable moments where we have to speak up and act, and not waste it by swinging at anything that moves, which is the MO of a shocking number of people in games. The rather amazing success of Kingdom Come Deliverance in the face of some of the absurd coverage it has endured is a testament to the open-minded, kind, and understanding nature of so many gamers around the world, and how we, adventurers in fictional worlds, can be a part of positive change in the real world too. While toxic identity politics and those obsessed with othering and destroying their ideological opponents have undoubtedly seeped into gaming's bloodstream, there are many, many more across the political divide of all colors, religions, and nationalities that wish to find peace and tranquility with others. As always, we have to be the change we want to see, and I'm so pleased to see that change being fostered all around us. Let's continue to do the hard work of mending fences and giving others the benefit of the doubt when and where they deserve it. And when it comes to a game developer whose crime seems to be thinking differently than other people, and occasionally sticking his foot in his mouth, I'd say we can find far, far worse. Well, that's it for this episode of Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think in the comments. I will be reading them, as always. Thumb up the video if you liked it, thumb it down if you don't. And, of course, share Colin's Last Stand, the podcast, the shows, whatever, with friends, family. Let them know about the might, the majesty, and the wonder of CLS. I will take no more of your time today, but I do appreciate the time you have given me. And I will see you next time for more Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. Keep on gaming.